Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back to the Hancock and Kelly Show. I'm Michael Kelly. Yesterday, our country laid to rest President Jimmy Carter, and he was eulogized by two individuals who were not there. Joining us to talk about President Carter's funeral and other things is CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarland. Scott, thanks so much for joining us at KMOX, and two eulogies given by two men that technically aren't alive.
Yeah, it's quite something that Gerald Ford authored that before his passing in 2006. And at the same time, it's that Jimmy Carter wrote and spoke Gerald Ford's passing in 2006. And they were obviously heated rivals and they were opponents in 1976. On the campaign trail, you say certain things, you argue certain things, but once you get into that small fraternity of the presidency, it seems it creates bonds. But you also saw in the crowd yesterday when George W. Bush, friendly greeted former President Obama. You're in a different sphere now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I heard a reporter yesterday say that one of the first acts that a president has when they get into office is planning their own funeral. Which was shocking to me. Number one, is that true? And then number two, so are they allowed to change that over time? Because obviously he wanted President Ford and President Vice President Mondale to give those eulogies, and their sons did it in favor of that. Was that Jimmy Carter's request?
It's kind of crazy, right, to have to plan your own funeral. You just think about that fundamentally, it kind of boggles the mind. But this is a national event. It's a national security event. It's a national historic event. So there is some responsibility to do it the way you want it to be done. I don't know if you're allowed to change your mind as to what you've ordered. I have to imagine you are. But I think what stood out to me about this planning and the planning Carter undertook here is that, you know, he's a famously humble man. He carried his own bags when he boarded Air Force One. He banned the playing of Hail to the Chief. When he entered a room, he wanted a humbleness to the presidency. So some of the trappings that, you know, we saw over the past few days, he may have accepted begrudgingly if there be military, you know, processions, caissons, regal service in the U.S. Capitol spanned 2.5 days. Some of this may have been something he accepted versus something he wanted.
Yeah, and we don't have royalty in this country, although that feels like a royal ceremony that we witnessed yesterday. And all of the former, current, and future current, the future president, were there. We can't help but talk about the political drama that exists around Donald Trump. It was evident by everyone's body language and interactions yesterday that Donald Trump is somewhat on an island on his own. Any behind-the-scenes stuff that has leaked out? Was everybody cordial with each other, or were there folks who didn't speak?
Nothing has leaked out that indicated any acrimony between the former presidents. It was noticeable in the photo line when, you know, former President Trump was shaking hands with his former vice president, Mike Pence, somebody Trump supporters were trying to hang on January 6th. That former Vice President Pence's wife did not greet or acknowledge Donald Trump as he walked by her. This is really quite something. You have a former president who's also a president-elect, who is also a criminal defendant facing sentencing today. All of this really makes it difficult to get your bearings as to where people stand and where things stand. But 10 days away from an inauguration where presumably these former presidents are going to be standing outside on the west front of the Capitol watching Donald Trump take the oath of office with prime seats in view of cameras.
And one of the first things that Donald Trump's going to have to jump to is dealing with a lot of these natural disasters that are taking place across the country. I wanted to move from the Carter funeral real quick to the Congress. Many of us remember the last time we had the hurricane that hit New York, and then Ted Cruz and Republicans and Donald Trump said we need to find a way to pay for this federal bailout that's going to come. It was interesting. It was a blue state that needed help. During the campaign, we saw what happened down in the southeast with the hurricane that happened, and President Trump committed his full support. Now this is happening in bright blue California. Do we anticipate a fight over disaster relief funding now because simply California is the one that needs the money?
I sure do. I expect it to be quite a fight to get disaster funding. First of all, because this Congress, with this incredibly narrow U.S. House Republican majority, is ill-equipped and poorly positioned to approve spending on anything. You saw what happened in December, just a few weeks ago, when they were trying to, very late, approve that disaster funding for Helene. And it hit all kinds of roadblocks because this narrow majority is difficulty passing things without the Democrats helping them out. Well, the same dynamic is going to come up because about 30 to 45 days from now, there's going to be a need for emergency federal aid for California. It's clear as day. How can they get that through the same labyrinth that struggled to get money through and was delayed getting money through for Hurricane Helene? And yeah, it's a blue state, which may make the politics more difficult for the Republican majority. It may not have the ardent backing of Donald Trump, as was the case last year when the hurricane money had the ardent backing of President Biden. It's a whole different world. I think that's going to be a story that emerges from the rubble politically over the next couple of months.
Well, he is CBS News correspondent Scott McFarlane, always kind enough to join us on KMOX. Scott, keep up the great work and keep those pipes clean, man. The best voice in the business.
Nice of you to say. Thank you.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.